You have your Bible with you. We're turning to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to read together verses 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. We read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Amen. And we pray that the Lord will bless his word to each one of our hearts this evening. Some of you may have heard of the Collingsworth family. They're famous for their singing and their musical performances. And over the years, they've released a number of CDs and DVDs. They would be classed as a Southern gospel group from America. Phil and Kim are the parents, and with their four children, they've been engaged in a full-time touring ministry since the year 2000. And it's only been of recent weeks that I've started to listen to some of their recordings. And there was a song which one of the daughters sings which caught my attention when I heard the words, "Your ways are higher than mine." And I was reminded of the verses which we have read. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And in these verses that we've read, the word "thoughts" appears four times. And so this evening, based on the verses which we have read together, I want to leave you four thoughts even to think upon. The first thought I want to leave with you from these verses is the comparison we see. The comparison we see. And these verses are making a comparison between God's ways and God's thoughts with our ways and our thoughts. Verse 8 makes it clear that they are different. "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." Verse 9 makes the difference clear that God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. Now, it's not just a bit higher, but the difference is so vast that it cannot be measured by man. "As the heavens are higher than the earth." Isn't that amazing? Ponder it. And we can see the reason why God's ways and God's thoughts are so much higher than ours when we do another comparison. And that's the comparison between who God is and who we are. God is the creator. We are creatures. God is eternal, with no beginning and no ending. But for each one of us, the scripture declares there is a time to be born and a time to die. God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. He knows everything. But as for us, we know so little. In fact, the scripture says that we see through a glass darkly. God is pure and perfect and holy. As for God, his way is perfect. But in comparison, we ourselves are marred by sin, corrupt, polluted in our mind, in our emotions, and in our will. And so when you and I consider the comparison of how great God is and how frail and limited we are, then it's no wonder that we read, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What does that mean for us as we come to pray this evening? Well, as we come before God, we must come humbly and reverently into his presence, that we would be in awe of who he is, and that we would acknowledge his greatness. The comparison we see. Second thought I want to leave with you is the comprehension we seek. Now, to fully understand the thoughts and the ways of God may be impossible for us. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. But oh, this evening, that our thoughts could be elevated to a higher plane, so that we would get a grasp, an understanding, a better understanding of God's thoughts and God's ways. Thankfully, we have the Bible to help us with that. Praise the Lord for his word. And in the Bible, we discover that God works for his glory. God works for his glory. You can see it through the scriptures. An example I want to leave with you this evening is found in the Old Testament, and it was how Gideon's army was chosen. At that time, Israel was under the oppression of the Midianites. And we come to a scene where Gideon beholds the multitude before him of the Midianites. And there were 135,000 gathered. In comparison, Gideon had 32,000 men. Now, what would you have done had you been in Gideon's shoes? What would your thoughts have been if you were Gideon? You were outnumbered 4-1. Would you be saying, we've no chance here? We need more people in our army. Could we persuade some of our neighboring nations to come and help us? Perhaps we could get horses and chariots Perhaps we could get better weapons. Maybe a few tanks wouldn't go amiss. But what were God's thoughts? In Judges chapter 7, verse 2, we read, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many. Too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me." And so Gideon's army was then reduced from 32,000 down to 10,000 when all those who were fearful left. What then? What were God's thoughts at that point? Gideon, still too many. Still too many. And so God gave Gideon a test for those remaining, and Gideon's army was further reduced to 300. 300 versus 135,000. But can you see how God so worked in that situation, so that it got to the stage where if Gideon's army were to win, it would only be through God. It would only be for God's glory and not for the glory of man. God works for his glory. Secondly, God works in his time. God works in his time. In the New Testament, this is ground covered by our minister of recent weeks, in John chapter 11, we read of Lazarus. We read of his sickness and his death. And our thoughts may have been like those of Mary and Martha had we been there. Lord, why did you delay? Lord, why did you not come sooner? Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But in John chapter 11, verse 4, we read, when the Lord Jesus, talking to his disciples, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And so the Lord Jesus worked in his time, and it all worked out for God's glory in the raising of Lazarus from the dead. God works for his glory. God works in his time. God works according to his plan and purpose. You see, God has an eternal plan. That plan is the redemption of his people. And this is very much comes to the fore when we think of the Lord in his passion. We come to Gethsemane. We see the Lord praying. And the mob led by Judas comes along to arrest the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, why did you let Judas betray you? Lord Jesus, why did you let the mob arrest you? Lord Jesus, why did you let the soldiers mock you and beat you and crucify you? The disciples, in terms of their thoughts, at that time, they didn't understand it. God's thoughts and God's ways were higher than theirs. But God worked it all out to provide redemption for his people. God works according to his plan. And dear brother and sister, this evening, as we come to pray, let us set aside our own agenda. Let us set aside our own desires for comfort and happiness and prosperity. Let's go for something higher. The glory of God. Let's be patient for the answers to our prayer, God's time. And let's be like a passenger getting into a car with God at the steering wheel. And as we pray this evening, let's enter into the eternal purpose of God in prayer, praying for those things which God would have us pray for, praying and engaging in prayer on a higher level, according to God's thoughts, according to his ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So there's the comparison we see and the comprehension we seek. Thirdly, the comfort we learn. Isn't it wonderful that with God's thoughts and God's ways being so high, isn't it a comfort to know that God sees the big picture? I don't recommend that you do this, but if you were to come up very close to a TV screen, with your eyes very close to a TV screen, you might be able to see the coloured dots which make up the picture. Those dots are pixels. And if you like, as far as our thoughts and our ways go, we just see a few pixels. God sees the complete picture. And it's only sometimes with regards to God's ways and God's thoughts, it's sometimes only with hindsight that we get that comfort looking back. And perhaps events or situations have happened to us and we don't know the reason at the time, but later on, looking back, we see the reason. I'm sure each one of us here can identify something with like that. I remember back whenever I was finishing school and A-levels were going to be done, and I had planned to go to university in Edinburgh. And I remember when the results came out that summer, the grades that I got was exactly one grade below what I needed to go to Edinburgh. And I remember at the time when those results came out, I remember it was as if the bottom just fell out of my world. But standing here this evening, looking back with hindsight, I'm so thankful to the Lord that I didn't go to Edinburgh. For God's ways were not my ways. God's thoughts were not my thoughts. You see, the Lord, in terms of his ways and his thoughts, has the highest vantage point. Years ago, a ship sailing on the sea would have had what was known as a crow's nest. And that was built in the upper part of the main mast of the ship. And this was used as the lookout point. It was the best place to spot land or dangers or even other ships. And as we come to pray this evening, dear brother and sister in Christ, remember God has the highest vantage point. Our Father, which art in heaven. And what comfort that should be to each one of us. And as we come to pray, we can pray, Lord, let me think like you. Lord, let your thoughts fill my mind. Lord, let your desires become mine. Lord, let your ways be my ways. As the heavens is higher, or higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Fourthly and finally, the compliance we need. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And as we consider these verses, how can we apply these to our life now? In what way can we comply in terms of God's ways and God's thoughts? Firstly, it is in the matter of forgiveness. Now, this might seem strange to hear me say that. Forgiveness. Where did you get that from? Verse 8 begins with the word for. And so that word for then links to the verse previous to that. And we read there, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Pardon. We're thinking in the immediate context of God's abundant pardon. God's thoughts and God's ways are to not just pardon repentant sinners, but to abundantly pardon repentant sinners. Can I ask you this evening, how do you react when someone wrongs you in some way? And maybe they come to you and they apologize. Do you sort of say, I'm going to get my own back on that person? Do you say, okay, I forgive you, but inwardly, do you harbor hatred or bitterness or resentment towards that person? Do you bear a grudge towards them? Do you keep in memory the wrong that that person has done to you and let it fester within you? And then do you remind them of the wrong that they've done whenever occasion suits? Well, if that's so, you are not showing forth God's thoughts and God's ways with respect to forgiveness. If that's you this evening, then you need to let go of it. You need to let go of it. Compliance to God's ways and God's thoughts in the matter of forgiveness. Compliance to God's ways and God's thoughts with respect to frustrations. When things don't go according to plan. Or should I say, when things don't go according to how we've planned. How do we react? Do we fly off the handle and lose our temper? Why did that happen to me? Or do we sink down into despair? If so, you're not showing forth God's thoughts and God's ways with respect to frustrations. We need to yield ourselves to God. We need to say, Lord, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And bring our frustrations to him. Then there's the compliance we need with respect to faith. And that is in matters where things happen and we don't know the reason why. And we can think it over, mull it over, and we can't get to the bottom of it. And we're left puzzled and confused. That's where faith comes in. Someone once said, trust God even when you cannot trace him. Compliance we need in terms of faith, and then compliance we need with God's ways and God's thoughts with respect to the future. When we have decisions and choices to make, are we going to rely on our own thoughts or on our own ways? We dare not. God wants us to rely on him, to submit ourselves to him, to submit to his thoughts and to his ways. Always remember, God knows best. The compliance we need. Just in concluding, I started with talking about the Collingsworth family, and I'm going to end by reading some of that words of the song that had referred to, "Your ways are higher than mine." Verse 1 we read, "It's not what I prayed for. It's not what I wanted. It's not something I understand. My circumstances seem so confusing. I'm placing it all in your hands." Verse 2 goes on to say, "One day, I'm sure, I will look back and marvel at how you knew best all along. You see from heaven. You know it's the hard times that make my faith steady and strong." The chorus says, "Your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move. You want me to climb. So I'm going to trust you will work your will in your time. Your ways are higher than mine. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Pray that the Lord will bless these few thoughts even to our hearts this evening. Now, before we come to pray, I'm hoping Alistair will be able to bring up, brilliant, Mr. Brown had mentioned on on the Lord's Day past about orphan children in Pakistan. And these are some pictures just on the screen of these orphan children in Pakistan receiving literature and Bible books and colouring pens and pencils which were sent out to them. And so we can pray even that the Lord will bless that literature and material even to each one of those children. Could I also bring to your attention as well just some points for prayer? I'm only going to mention the three main points that Mr. Brown would put up on the screen. One of those is actually being for wisdom in discovering the best way to reach orphan children in Pakistan with the gospel. Photos attached show them with parcels we have already sent Bible books and colouring pens and pencils. We can pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the church, and deliverance for our land. And we can also pray that the Lord will continue to speak even through services which have taken place over recent weeks. And no doubt each one have matters on your heart that you would want to pray for, whether audibly or inaudibly. Take the opportunity and the time to pray even to the Lord this evening.